Chapter 27, The Interview. Melissa spent the remainder of the day confined to her cell, which was situated along a corridor lined with similar cells. Throughout the day, she observed only two inmates being escorted along the corridor. Like her, these men were naked, but unlike her, they wore no collars. This observation led her to speculate that they might be free people who had been imprisoned. Nala had once explained to her that slaves were kept naked to control them, and Melissa pondered whether the same logic was applied to these inmates. Without a collar, they were clearly not slaves, but they were kept naked so they could be controlled more easily. The next day, Melissa was led out of her cell by an officer. Her wrists were once again cuffed behind her back, and her legs were shackled. The officer attached a chain leash to her collar, and she followed him as she was guided through the corridors of the jail. They entered a visitation room with sterile white walls. At one of the walls, there was a table and a few chairs. The officer led her to a ring in the floor at the center of the room, where he made her kneel. He then locked the leash to a ring in the floor, giving her just enough slack to kneel without slouching, but not enough to stand. And he padlocked her handcuff chain to her hobble chain. A few minutes later, Tariq and Amina entered and sat on the chairs. They were sitting at the table and could comfortably see Melissa from there. Melissa lifted her eyes to meet theirs. Tariq and Amina sat on the chairs with concern and determination on their faces. They looked down at Melissa as she knelt before them in chains. Both Tariq and Amina had been raised in Grabesh, where this treatment of slaves was common, but they had come to know Melissa as a free woman in England, and seeing her treated like this was a jarring experience. Tariq began to explain.
"Melissa, we managed to contact Abek. He's transferred the money, but the transfer took longer than he expected. That's why you were repossessed. But he's confident the money will arrive in the next few days, and then you'll be let go."
A wave of relief washed over Melissa, her tense shoulders relaxing slightly at the news.
"I'm glad you were finally able to contact him," she said, her voice tinged with both relief and lingering worry.
Tariq nodded, offering a small smile.
"Yeah, he was on a hiking trip with Zahara. They didn't have any cell phone reception at the time. I'll also talk to the Grain and Gain Bank to explain the situation. We'll get this all cleared up as soon as possible."
Melissa's relief was short-lived. Her stomach twisted with a new wave of anxiety as she processed Tariq's words.
"He was on a hiking trip with Zahara?"
she asked incredulously. He was enjoying life again. He probably had been enjoying nature's beauty with Zahara, while the officer yesterday had had his finger buried deep in her anal cavity, searching for contraband at intake. She wasn't sure about Zahara's motives. Ever since she had been rescued from the health office, she could have stayed at home. But she had pushed herself to go out with her friends, and in part she had done this to keep an eye on Arbeck. She had also made herself more sexually available to him, so he wouldn't seek relief elsewhere. She knew Arbeck and Zahara were friends, but the image of them together alone gnawed at her. She depended on him being loyal to her and didn't want to risk losing him until he had freed her. But now she was stuck in this country. She was chained to the floor, forced to kneel with her hands cuffed behind her. She didn't have any control over anything at the moment. All she could do was wait for things to play out with her fate, dependent on others' efforts. Tariq, sensing her unease, added quickly,
"Melissa, Abek and Zahara are just friends. I'm sure they just needed to clear their heads on that hiking trip. You know how stressful this has been for all of us."
Amina's heart ached for Melissa, and she went over to her. As she was next to her, she saw the cuffs holding Melissa's hands behind her. She gently stroked Melissa's hair and her shoulders that were bent in a slight backward arc. Tariq felt a personal sting of failure, although he hadn't done anything wrong. But he had promised to look after Melissa. He was determined to rectify this situation. He would talk to the bank and see if he could resolve this with them. For Melissa, her nudity, collar, kneeling before her friends, the chain at her neck holding her down, the cold floor under her knees, all seemed to slow down time to a crawl and reminded her that she should have been freed by now. And yet she was here and chained. Killian's words, "I guess you'll be kneeling for us free people a bit longer," echoed in her mind. The conversation continued, with Tariq detailing plans and reassurances, but Melissa could only nod, her voice muted by the situation. It was hard for her to focus on anything while she was feeling her captivity so intensely in her bonds. As they talked, she focused on breathing and maintaining her composure. Finally, Tariq and Amina left to get to work, leaving her alone in the visitation room, chained to the floor. Melissa waited for an officer to pick her up, but none came, and she remained as she was. The minutes ticked by, turning into what felt like forever. Her knees ached, and she listened intently for any sign of footsteps, any indication that someone would come for her, but there was only silence. She worried that she may have been forgotten. She tugged at the chain, hoping perhaps there was some slack she hadn't noticed before, but it was futile. She was anchored to the floor, her movement restricted to the small area around the ring.
"Hello? Is anyone there?"
Melissa called out. Her voice echoed slightly in the room. Her first cry was tentative, but as the silence persisted, her calls grew louder, more urgent.
"Officer, please, I need to get back to my cell."
After several tries, the door finally opened. An officer stepped in, his expression one of mild irritation rather than concern.
"What's going on here?"
he asked, his tone suggesting he was more bothered by the interruption than by her situation.
"I've been forgotten here after a visit. Can you please take me back to my cell, sir?"
Melissa pleaded, her voice laced with frustration and a hint of desperation. The officer glanced at her, then at the chain securing her to the floor, before looking at his watch.
"Someone will be with you soon,"
he said dismissively, his tone indicating this was not a priority. With that, he turned to leave, the door closing behind him, leaving Melissa once again alone with only the sound of her own breathing and the distant, indifferent hum of the jail. Her knees felt strained, and her mind was racing with thoughts of how long Soon might be in a place where time seemed to lose all meaning. After what seemed like an eternity, the door opened and a man and a woman entered. They were not in any kind of uniform. They were smartly dressed, which was unusual in a hot climate like this.
"Hello, Miss Mirror. I'm Safina,"
the woman said.
"And this,"
she motioned to the man next to her,
"is my assistant Jabari."
"Hello,"
Melissa replied shyly.
"Is it okay if I call you Melissa?"
she asked.
"Miss Mirror sounds so formal."
Safina smiled.
"Okay,"
Melissa replied.
"I'm here to have a chat with you. I want to get to know you better, Melissa,"
Safina said. Melissa felt uneasy.
"Why do you need to get to know me, ma'am?" "The Grain and Game Bank has hired me to make an independent report about you. The report will be about your personal history and personality," Safina replied. "This is so potential buyers know what they will get when they bid on you. Buyers of sex slaves want to know their slaves' personality. After all, they will be living with you and spending a lot of their free time with you. So it is important to them to have a slave with a compatible personality. They want to get a feel for who you are, what your personality is. We are here to make sure they get all the relevant information so they can make an informed buying decision."
"I should not be sold,"
Melissa replied.
"Please, talk to my owner. This is a misunderstanding. He will pay whatever sum is missing. I should not be sold to someone else."
"Ah, you like your master, don't you? And you don't want to leave him,"
Safina said.
"That is wonderful. I will put that down in my notes. Masters like sex slaves who form emotional attachments with them."
Melissa recoiled internally,
for being referred to as a sex slave.
Look, Melissa, no one is saying that you will be sold. I'm sure this will all be sorted out. But while you are here, it makes sense to use the time to prepare. And if you are to be sold, then an accurate psychological profile helps to find a buyer who will like your personality. And in turn, he is likely to treat you better, and you are more likely to like him. So this assessment is in your interest as well, Melissa. Normally, there would also be a physical examination,
she continued.
But I've seen in your file that you have only recently been checked by the health office. So that won't be necessary then.
She smiled at Melissa. She sat at the table, and her assistant sat down on the other side, and both of them faced Melissa. The interview started out with questions about where she was from, which languages she knew, and how well, which skills she had, whether she could cook, clean, or perform other domestic duties. Eventually, Safina started touching other topics.
How did you become a slave, Melissa?
Safina asked. Melissa paused. She sensed a trap considering how she and Arbeck had tried to dodge immigration laws. Her mind raced to find a way out of this. She tried to choose her words carefully.
It was a misunderstanding at the airport.
She managed, her voice barely steady. It didn't slip Safina's notice that Melissa kept forgetting to address her as ma'am, as a slave should. But she knew that Melissa had only been recently enslaved, and deferential speech came at an effort to her. She could have insisted that Melissa address her properly, but she chose not to. She wasn't here to train Melissa. She was here to learn about her. She would make a note of it in her report. But right now, it was more important to not interrupt the flow of the conversation when they were talking. And if Melissa tripped up and forgot to call her ma'am, as she had right now, that might be a clue for her that Melissa was distracted and trying to hide something. Safina leaned forward, her interest piqued.
A misunderstanding. Can you elaborate on that?
Fidgeting, her eyes darted around the room, looking for a way to escape her gaze.
My boyfriend, Arbeck, he thought there was a way for me to enter the country without proper documentation. It didn't work out.
Safina raised an eyebrow, her tone turning skeptical.
You mean you attempted to bypass immigration laws?
Melissa's voice trembled slightly as she responded,
No, ma'am, not exactly. It was more like we thought I could enter as his property. He's a citizen here, so we thought it would be fine.
Smiling thinly, sensing the evasion, the Safina pressed on.
So, you tried to trick the border police into believing you were already his slave?
Her face flushed with embarrassment. Melissa looked down, her words almost a whisper.
We didn't think it through. It was supposed to be a quick solution.
Leaning back on her chair, she crossed her arms, her gaze unrelenting.
A quick solution to avoid the legal process of immigration. That sounds like deceit to me. Is there more to this story, Melissa?
Melissa's voice was barely above a whisper, clearly uncomfortable.
That's all there is to it. We made a mistake, ma'am.
Safina's voice was firm now, pressing for clarity.
A mistake that involved deception. Your reluctance to detail this further tells me there's more. What exactly happened at the airport that led to your current situation?
Biting her lip, she struggled with the truth.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. It was just a misunderstanding.
Safina looked at her coolly.
Understand this, Melissa. You may be worried that you would be punished for deceiving the authorities. But that is not why I'm here. I'm not a police officer. I'm an assessor hired by the Grain and Game Bank for an independent appraisal. I will not give you any trouble for anything you tell me as long as you are honest. In fact, the only way you can get into trouble is by not telling me the whole truth. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you part of a plan to deceive the border police or not?
With a resigned sigh, knowing she was cornered, Melissa admitted.
Yes, we tried to deceive them, but I didn't know it would lead to this. I thought it would just be a way to get through without a visa.
She nodded, making notes on her clipboard.
Thank you for your honesty, Melissa, even if it was reluctant. Keep in mind that people want to have honest slaves. You don't want to be considered a dishonest slave, Melissa. Your current owner is...
She flipped a page to check.
Arbeck Girtan.
Safina leaned forward.
How loyal are you to him?
How loyal?
Melissa was perplexed.
What do you mean?
Would you betray him?
Safina clarified and added.
For personal gain, for example, or any other reason?
Melissa felt a knot form in her stomach. She tried to compose herself, to mask the resentment she felt.
I am loyal to Arbeck. He's taken care of me.
Her voice was meant to be steady, but it wavered slightly, betraying her discomfort. Safina, however, was not convinced by the hesitant tone. Her gaze intensified, demanding more.
Are you sure about that, Melissa? Your words and your tone seem to suggest otherwise.
Feeling the pressure mount, Melissa swallowed hard, her eyes darting around the room before she forced them back to meet Safina's.
I am completely loyal to Arbeck. He's my owner, and I would never do anything against him.
Her words were firm this time, but her hands, nervously tugging against her cuffs on her back, betrayed her with their nervous twitching. Safina paused, her expression unreadable, as she studied Melissa's body language. Safina leaned back, her expression one of skepticism.
That's quite a commitment for someone with your history. Are you sure there isn't more to this story? Why would you be loyal to a man who has enslaved you and caused you so much pain?
He did not want me to be properly enslaved,
Melissa clarified.
I was meant to be freed straight away after leaving the airport.
Of course,
Safina said.
Nonetheless, even if it was inadvertent, you are still enslaved to him, and he has caused you a lot of suffering. So why would you still be loyal to such a man? Completely loyal, as you said.
Would my owner see this assessment?
Melissa asked, her voice tinged with worry. Safina nodded slowly.
This should not affect your answers because a slave should not have secrets from her owner. But yes, this will go on your file, and your owner will have access to it. But you should not concern yourself with that. It is your duty to answer truthfully.
Melissa felt cornered. Answering Safina's question truthfully would drive a wedge between her and Arbeck. But even if Arbeck knew her resentment towards him, that it was over between them, he would still free her, she thought. But the stakes were too high for her that she wanted to risk this. Even with Arbeck currently still believing in a future together, he had already faltered on the loan payment. If he discovered her intention to leave him, this would give him an incentive to keep her enslaved. Keeping her enslaved guaranteed him sex with her. Freeing meant the end of their sexual relationship. People responded to incentives, and sex was a powerful incentive, while adherence to abstract moral principles tended to be weak. With a heavy sigh, she attempted to steer the conversation, desperate to maintain some control over her narrative. Melissa's heart raced, her mind scrambling for an answer that wouldn't betray her true feelings and intentions.
Because love transcends circumstances. We've been through a lot together, and I believe in him. Once I'm free, all these trials...
She lifted her head to display her collar.
...will be behind us. We're in a happy relationship. The only problem is that I am his slave. When he frees me, we will be a couple again.
Her voice was almost convincing, but the lie was palpable, even to her own ears. Safina leaned back, her expression one of skepticism.
That's quite a positive attitude for someone in your position. Are you sure there isn't more to this story? Why would you want to be with a man who has caused you so many indignities? Why would that not affect your feelings for him?
Melissa knew that Safina could see through her facade, but she was trapped by her own words, by her need to keep Arbeck believing in their future together until she could secure her freedom.
I love him,
she said, the words tasting like ash in her mouth, knowing they were the key to her current survival, regardless of how they contradicted her true feelings. Safina picked up on her intentions to deceive her and decided to address this. She understood that Melissa had been raised as a free woman and only a few weeks ago had become a slave. So it was only natural that she still wanted to keep some of her thoughts private, especially when the questions were so intimate in nature and might put her into conflict with people who held power over her. However, it was these insights into her thinking that were of interest to potential buyers of a sex slave. Safina's duty was to ensure this information was uncovered and presented to them. Safina understood that this was a common issue. It wasn't easy even for those who had been slaves for many years, but recently enslaved women were still used to having their privacy. She decided to provide Melissa with a distraction to help her relax her guard.
Look, Melissa, I realize this is not easy for you. You have been a free woman all of your life, and of course, you would struggle to open up to a stranger like me. And I understand that these questions are very personal, and you might feel that they put you into conflict.
Melissa felt a wave of relief at this acknowledgement, saying,
Yes, thank you, Safina. It's just very difficult. I'm not used to this level of questioning.
Yet she remained wary.
Let's have a 20-minute break. I'll let you freshen up and then we'll try again. What do you think?
Melissa said with gratitude in her voice.
Yes, please. A break would be good.
Safina then stood up and exited the room. Her assistant Jabari went to unlock her handcuffs, but left her ankle cuffs on. He unlocked her leash from the ring in the ground and helped Melissa get up. It was a relief because her knees were hurting from kneeling and her shoulders were aching from being pulled back for so long. Her legs were shaky and numb. Jabari helped Melissa go to the table where she supported herself and gently shook her legs one by one to restore circulation. Jabari offered her a small bottle of water, which she drank eagerly. She stretched, which seemed to pop her vertebra back into place and send a tingling wave of relief up her spine. Then he led her to a bathroom where he allowed her to relieve herself under his supervision. Afterwards, he brought her back to the visitation room. 5 minutes later, Melissa found herself stuck in an unfamiliar contraption. It was constructed from 4 vertical metal bars forming the corners of a 2-foot square, extending up to her navel. On both sides, the base of these bars was connected by horizontal bars, but not at the far side from where she was positioned. There, they were joined only by a horizontal bar at the top, not at the ground. On the side closest to her, these vertical bars were linked by a bar positioned at the height of her pelvis. Her ankles were shackled to the respective vertical bars. Jabari had used handcuffs for this instead of ankle cuffs. The handcuffs were tight on her ankles and bit into her Achilles tendons painfully when she tensed her legs. He then made her bend over the horizontal bar closest to her, and he cuffed her hands to the bottom of these same vertical bars. Jabari then carefully moved this setup against the wall, next to where Safina and he would sit. The wall was against her back and prevented her from straightening herself. Her upper body hung upside down, her head down, and her vagina and anus on display. She was unable to slide off the pelvic bar due to the vertical bars extending above it, thereby trapping her in place. At that moment, she was alone in the room. When Safina had suggested a 20-minute break, Melissa had assumed it would include her. However, as Jabari had taken her to the bathroom, he had motioned a signal to a police officer at the reception, the meaning of which was lost on her then. Upon returning, the device had been delivered to the visitation room. While Safina likely enjoyed her break somewhere, Jabari had used the time to lock Melissa into this apparatus. Being held like this was stressful. Her hamstrings were being stretched and hurt. Her upper body was upside down, with the blood rushing to her head. After the 20-minute break was over, Safina returned. She greeted Melissa, who had now been stuck in the contraption for the last 10 minutes. Melissa's hamstrings were hurting from being stretched. The handcuffs were too small for her ankles and were digging into her Achilles tendon. Melissa's face was flushed red from being upside down. She longed to be released from her position. But Safina made no such motion. Instead, she sat back down on her chair. Safina turned to her and started asking her the same questions again. Melissa answered them with a strained voice and labored breathing. She struggled to focus on her answers because she was distracted from the stress of her position. She tried shifting her weight from one leg to the other so the other leg could bend a bit to release some of the tension in her hamstrings. But the chains of the handcuffs were short and the release of tension was minimal. Melissa decided she would give Safina better answers now. The sooner the interview was over, the sooner she would be released. Safina sat in her chair and assessed Melissa's discomfort.
"Tell me about any significant past relationships you've had," she asked.
Gasping slightly from the strain, Melissa spoke, her voice labored.
"I had a boyfriend back in school. We were together for years, but it ended when I moved for university. Then there's Arbeck."
"What qualities do you admire most in Arbeck?"
Safina's question was probing, her tone suggesting she was looking for inconsistencies. Melissa, her head hanging down, struggled to keep her tone even.
"He's fun, with a great character."
Safina leaned closer.
"How would you define your relationship with him? What is the nature of your bond?"
Melissa recognized the questions. She was repeating the same question as before, the one she had lied about to Safina. But she was now in a position in which evading Safina's questions took a toll on her. She wanted to be released from this position, but that was up to Safina, and Safina wanted answers. And that made evading Safina's questions now physically stressful for Melissa.
We're close. He's my boyfriend. When he frees me, we'll be a couple again, like before,"
she said, trying to sound convincing. But the stress position made her words falter, her body aching from the strain. Safina looked at her from her chair.
"That seems unlikely that you would just go back to being a couple again after all that his mistake has cost you, Melissa. Are you sure? Think again."
"Ouch,"
Melissa cried out. Safina's assistant, who was standing close to Melissa, had casually pinched one of her labia and continued to hold it between his fingers. The pain in Melissa's back and legs was persistent, and the awareness that her sensitive labia were available to pinches from her assistant stressed her. He was standing next to her, and her precious labia were at a level at which he could access them without making an effort. The cuffs on her legs didn't allow her to close her legs. She knew she couldn't keep up the charade.
"Okay. The truth is, I don't want to be with him anymore. This, all of this."
She gestured with her head, indicating her predicament as much as her enslavement.
"Has shown me he's not the right match for me. I'm only with him now because I need him to free me. I've been keeping him loyal by having sex with him whenever he wants."
She felt Safina's assistant let go of her labia and inhaled with a sigh of relief. Safina nodded, noting the admission on her clipboard.
"That's more honest. Now we are getting somewhere. And what do you plan to do once you're free?"
Melissa's voice was a mix of relief and defeat.
"I plan to leave him, go back home, find a new life where I'm not this."
The assessor considered her words, and with a soft voice she said,
"Thank you, Melissa. Tell me about other men you've dated,"
Safina asked her. Melissa, her head hanging down, responded with a strain in her voice.
"There were no others."
Safina's eyebrows arched in disbelief.
"No others? You are young and pretty, and you were living on your own. It seems unlikely that you weren't seeing any men.
Melissa's voice was firm, trying to hold on to the lie.
I mean it. After my first boyfriend, there was no one until Arbeck came along.
You said earlier that you are heterosexual, and the blood work from the health office has shown that your sex hormone levels are within the reference range. And you weren't being supervised by your parents,
Safina pointed out, her tone suggesting she knew there was more to the story.
Why would you not be dating?
Without warning, her assistant's hand moved swiftly, pinching Melissa's labia. Melissa cried out, the sharp pain shooting through her, her voice echoing off the walls.
Ah!
Her hands made hectic movements, trying to instinctively go after the pinching hands. But the short chains of her cuffs went immediately taut, leaving her helplessly flailing her hands around within the short range of motion allowed to them. Her legs moved around in an instinctive effort to move her labia away from Safina's assistant. But those chains too went taut quickly, and her efforts were in vain. She couldn't remove her labia from Jabari's painful pinch. Gasping, Melissa quickly amended her statement.
Okay, there were others, but I didn't have sex with them, so they don't count.
Safina shook her head, her voice cold.
I asked about men you dated. You first said you hadn't dated any others, but now you're admitting you did?
The assistant pinched her again, this time harder, and Melissa yelped, her voice cracking, under the dual assault of pain and humiliation.
If it helps you focus, I could attach a clothespin to your labia.
Her assistant Jabari offered.
Or maybe to your inner labia.
He gently traced her labia with his fingers, as if looking for a suitable spot to attach one.
No!
Melissa gasped.
I mean, no, sir, that won't be necessary.
To Safina, she said.
Yes, I dated someone for a while. His name was Marcus, but we didn't have sex. What was the issue with Marcus?
Safina pressed, her interest piqued by Melissa's admissions. Melissa took a deep breath, the pain momentarily forgotten as she explained.
There was no issue with him at all. I wasn't looking for a serious relationship, but someone exciting instead. That's why I chose Arbeck over Marcus.
I see,
Safina said.
I find it curious, though, that you say that Marcus was good enough for a serious relationship. And yet, you chose Arbeck just because you wanted excitement. Can you help me understand that, Melissa?
He was just too similar to my old boyfriend,
Melissa said. Her tone carried a hint of frustration, despite the strain in her neck. Safina glanced up from her notes, her eyes narrowed slightly with curiosity.
Could you not have fun when you were living with your parents?
She asked. Melissa tilted her head as much as the position allowed. Her lips pressed into a thin line before she answered.
They were always snooping around me, asking questions, judging everything I did.
Safina tilted her head in return. Her expression remained neutral as she jotted down a few words.
I see,
she said.
So your parents were very controlling?
Yes, Mom,
Melissa replied. Her voice held steady, though her wrists shifted slightly against the cuffs. Safina nodded. She wrote another note, her pen moving swiftly.
And they were supervising you constantly?
She asked.
Yes, Mom,
Melissa said again. She kept her gaze on Safina, her fingers flexing briefly against the metal. Safina paused. She set her pen down and leaned forward slightly.
Telling you what to do and what you couldn't do?
She asked.
Yes, Mom,
Melissa answered. Her tone stayed firm, despite the ache building in her shoulders. Safina smiled faintly. She picked up her pen again and tapped it once against the paper.
That's excellent, Melissa,
she said. Melissa blinked, her brow furrowed in confusion as she strained to look upward.
Mom?
She asked. Safina leaned back in her chair. Her smile widened just a touch as she met Melissa's inverted gaze.
You've grown up very controlled, constantly supervised, told what to do and what not to do,
she said.
You have been conditioned to accept this kind of treatment. I think you will do well as a slave, Melissa.
Melissa's eyes widened. She pushed against the cuffs, her voice rising with urgency, despite the awkward angle.
No, I hated it there, Mom,
she said.
All I could think of was to get away. When I left home, it was a great relief. I hardly ever went back.
Safina raised an eyebrow. She rested her chin on her hand, studying Melissa for a moment.
So, you think that it is the opposite?
She said.
That your upbringing instilled in you a strong will to be free?
Melissa nodded as best she could. Her hands pressed harder against the bars as she spoke.
Yes, Mom,
she said. Safina took a moment to write down her observations, her pen moving swiftly across the paper.
So, you've experienced a life of control under your parents, which you rebelled against by seeking excitement with Arbeck. Yet, you now find yourself in a situation where you're controlled in a far more profound way. How does that make you feel?
Melissa, feeling the strain in her muscles, her hands were on the ground bars supporting her. In her agitation, she anxiously moved her hands around, but they were immediately caught by the short chains of the handcuffs, and she put them back on the bar. Her face flushed from the blood rushing to her head, and she managed to respond.
It's humiliating, Mom. I never wanted to be controlled like this. I thought I was escaping one cage for freedom, not for another one.
Safina nodded, her expression one of calculated empathy.
And yet, you seem to adapt quickly to the roles you're given, from a rebellious daughter to a slave seeking freedom. Do you find any part of this liberating? Being free from decision-making, free from the pressures of freedom, free from responsibility?
No, ma'am.
Melissa's voice was sharp, but her position made her words sound more like a plea.
This is not liberating. It's degrading. I want my freedom back. I want to make my own choices.
Melissa tried to lessen the strain on her hamstrings by hanging from the horizontal bar. She pushed her pelvis up a bit by straightening her legs. That made her flex her Achilles tendons, which were painfully prevented from straightening by the handcuffs around her ankles.
Ouch!
She cried from the pain in her ankles. She had managed to lift herself a bit and carefully relaxed her legs and balanced her weight on the horizontal bar.
But you chose Arbeck for excitement, knowing he wasn't the best match for you.
Safina continued, ignoring Melissa's painful struggle for a more comfortable position.
That choice led here. Do you regret seeking that excitement?
Melissa's voice softened, the truth of her situation sinking in.
Yes, Mom, I regret it. I wish I had never met Arbeck. I was naive. I thought I could handle anything, but This has been too much. I just want to go back to my life, where I could decide for myself.
Safina leaned back, her eyes scanning Melissa's form, noting her physical and emotional distress.
Interesting. Now tell me about your fears, Melissa. What scares you the most in your current position?
Melissa hesitated, the pain in her hamstrings and the blood in her head making it hard to focus.
I'm afraid of not getting out of my enslavement, Mom. That Arbeck won't set me free. I fear never being free again, never being able to go back to who I was.
Safina made another note.
And what about punishment? What kind frightens you the most?
Melissa swallowed hard, the thought alone making her shiver despite her discomfort.
Being kept like this, or anything that makes me feel less than human. I can't stand the thought of being treated like an object, to be kept just for someone's pleasure.
Safina nodded, her pen tapping against her clipboard.
You've been quite forthcoming this time, Melissa. But let's talk about sexual experiences. You've mentioned not being intimate with Marcus, but how many partners have you had? And what are your limits sexually?
Melissa's face burned with more than just the blood flow.
I've had a few partners, Mom. My limits. I don't like pain or anything that feels like a violation. I want consent and respect.
Safina, not content with the vague response, leaned forward, her eyes fixed on Melissa.
You said a few partners, Melissa. How many exactly? We need an accurate count for your profile.
Melissa, her body still contorted in the device, tried to avoid the question, her voice weak and strained.
It's not relevant, Mom. They were just not significant.
Safina shook her head, her voice insistent.
It is relevant. Buyers need to know. How many, Melissa?
Feeling cornered, Melissa attempted once more to dodge the question.
I've lost count, Mom. It's been too long.
Without warning, Jabari, standing silently beside her, reached down and pinched one of Melissa's labia, his grip firm and unrelenting. Melissa gasped, the sudden sharp pain making her squirm within her restraints.
Ah, please, stop!
Answer the question, Melissa,
Jabari said calmly, while his fingers continued the pinch. Melissa's breaths were quick, her discomfort palpable.
Okay, two. I've only been with two, Mom. My old boyfriend and Arbeck.
Only two men?
Safina asked.
You were finally away from your controlling parents and looking for some excitement, as you said.
Safina reminded Melissa.
And you have only had two sexual partners?
Yes, I swear. Please, you have to believe me. That is all.
Safina looked at her and exhaled slowly. She gave Jabari a nod, and he released his pinch on her labia. The memory of the pain lingered with Melissa, her labia throbbing. Safina made a note, her expression one of satisfaction.
Thank you, Melissa.
Melissa, her face flushed with shame and pain, nodded weakly.
Yes, Mom,
she whispered, her resolve weakened by the ordeal. She knew now that honesty, even about her most private matters, was her only way to avoid further physical and emotional torment. Melissa had been balancing her weight on the horizontal bar, but the constant push of it against her was becoming uncomfortable. She carefully stretched her arms to move herself from it and put some of her weight back on her feet. That required her to stretch her legs. She let out a muted,
"Ouch!"
as the Achilles tendons pushed against the steel cuffs again and tried to relax them. The weight was off her pelvis, which was a relief, but her hamstrings were being uncomfortably stretched again. Safina's assistant, Jabari, who had been mostly silent, spoke up, his voice calm but with a hint of authority.
You said that you were looking for excitement, and yet now you are here, subjected to this position, to these questions. Does this not stir something in you? An excitement you sought with Arbeck?
No!
Melissa's response was immediate, her voice laced with disgust.
This isn't excitement. It's coercion. There's no thrill in being forced into this.
Safina watched her reaction, then said,
Your responses are valuable, Melissa. They give potential buyers a clear picture of who you are. Remember, Melissa, that honesty is important, even if you don't see it now. But it might help you find a master more aligned with your nature.
Melissa, feeling defeated and in pain, managed a weak nod.
I just want this to be over, Mom.
If you could change one thing about your situation here, what would it be?
Melissa didn't hesitate.
I'd change everything. I'd be back home with my rights, my freedom. But if I have to choose one thing, I'd want this collar off. No longer be a slave. I want to be free again.
Thank you, Melissa. Your honesty, even if you needed some encouragement, has been helpful.
Safina jotted down her observations, then leafed through several pages, pausing in thought. Finally, she directed her attention back to Melissa.
Melissa, I understand that this has been hard on you,
she said.
Yes, Mom,
Melissa said.
But I know you have been defensive and tried to hide the truth at times.
Melissa was breathing heavily from the strain of the position she was forced into. She didn't want to react to Safina's last statement. Affirming it would be to admit that she may be hiding more information. Contradicting it would be telling Safina, the woman who had the power to make her suffer so much at the moment, that she was wrong and might anger her.
Ouch!
She cried out as Jabari pinched her labia.
Yes, Mom. I'm sorry, Mom.
Melissa hurried to say, while panting.
I'm sure you are,
Safina said.
But you are still struggling to open up to me, dear. Listen, I understand that this is difficult for you, and I am here to help you through this.
To her assistant, she said,
please give her some scopolamine.
The assistant went to his bag, and she heard some cracking noises as he took out a small packet with some pills.
What is that?
Melissa asked worriedly.
Don't worry, Melissa,
Safina replied.
It will help you relax and make it easier for you to talk to me.
Melissa's heart raced, her body revolting against the invasion that was about to occur, but the contraption held her firm. Her chains pulled tight as she anxiously struggled within them.
No,
she said,
I'm not taking any kind of pills.
Through her legs, she could see the assistant they popping the pill into his mouth. He swirled it around with his tongue. Then he took it out. It was covered with his saliva. Then he pushed the lubricated suppository against her anus. Melissa realized what he was about to do.
No,
she said, alarmed.
Whatever it is, I don't want it. Just tell me what you want to know. I'm answering your questions. I'm cooperating.
Jabari made shushing noises and gently stroked her butt cheeks as if to calm her. Melissa strained against her bonds, but the cuffs around her ankles prevented any meaningful movement. They went taut right away. The vertical bars at her sides prevented any lateral movement of her pelvis. Her buttocks were exposed and unable to shift away. She tried to clench her buttocks shut, to use her glutes to shut out the intrusion. But the bent over position forced these muscles into a stretch, rendering her efforts in vain. Her anus was exposed, and the assistant was able to access it, and she couldn't do anything to stop him. Her only defense was her sphincter, which she tensed with all her might. With a gentle but firm pressure, the assistant slid it past her clenched muscle. Her body was unable to resist the intrusion, and the suppository slipped in. Cold and alien, making her feel like a specimen in a lab.
Shall we just put in two for good measure?
He asked the interrogator.
Yeah, let's do that,
she replied.
Best to be safe.
No.
Melissa squirmed, but the cuffs held her securely. She still couldn't move her anus away from the assistant. The assistant popped another suppository out of its wrapper. He put it into his mouth again, and then pushed the lubricated suppository into Melissa's anus. Safina knew that the pills would not force Melissa to tell the truth, but they would make it harder to focus, the kind of focus that was needed to come up with lies. Unfortunately, it also meant that it would be harder for her to maintain a clear thread of thought. But from the conversation so far, Safina had enough information to guide Melissa through the process. She just needed Melissa to slip up in places she may have lied earlier or provide additional detail that she would no longer remember to suppress.
Okay, let's start again,
Safina said.
Where are you from?
Later that day, back in her cell, Melissa lay down on her bed. She was utterly drained from the grueling interview with that detestable woman. After her assistant had administered the pills by inserting them into her anus, Safina had started questioning her all over again. She began again with innocuous, straightforward queries before delving into more personal, invasive topics. As the interview progressed, Melissa found herself less guarded. The need to conceal information seemed to fade. She recalled her initial attempts to mislead Safina, but as the medication took effect, fabricating answers or devising diversions became increasingly arduous. It was like trying to solve a taxing puzzle after a day of mental exhaustion. Her mind lacked the vigor to concoct convincing lies or strategize evasions. The drug seemed to undermine her brain's ability to engage in the mental gymnastics required to uphold a consistent deception. When she tried to do so anyway, the delays in responding were evident, prompting Jabari to administer his sharp, painful pinches. She had also been worn down from spending so much time in the stress position that contraption forced her into. Eventually, she had just yielded and told Safina all that she wanted to know. Melissa's mind buzzed with questions about her repossession situation. Had Arbeck successfully completed the necessary transfer? Could Tariq have managed to persuade the Grain and Gain Bank to reconsider their decision to repossess her? She hoped they would be able to get her out of here soon.